Hello and welcome to the Heel Reviews podcast, where I bring you reviews from a Christian geek worldview. And today I'm putting all those end credits snippets that me and Josiah did for the What If episodes all into one episode, so you can listen through to all of them and hear all of our thoughts on each episode of What If, because you probably missed some here or there. And also, considering they didn't end up at the end of every episode like I was really kind of hoping for going into this series and stuff, and so it didn't quite work out exactly how I wanted it to in that way, and it ended up being more messy than I wish it was. But hey, it is what it is. Let's get into episode one here now with Josiah.
Space. Time. Reality. It's more than a linear path. It's a prism of endless possibility.
Well, that doesn't sound ominous at all.
Hello, everybody. This is David, and I'm here with my brother, Josiah. Say hello.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about the Marvel What If series. And since this series is so much different than all the other series, being that it's anthology format, every episode is different and stuff, instead of doing one big episode about it, we thought, hey, you know what? We could talk about each individual episode kind of as they come out. We're a little bit behind right now, but we'll kind of catch up and keep going here, I think, as we go along. And as the episodes come out, we'll talk about each individual one, and I'll tag them on to the end of each of the episodes here for the next 10 or so episodes, depending on how long this series is. And then perhaps at the end, I can put them all together in one big like bonus episode, too, in case you all want to listen to them all at one time. But for now, we're going to be talking about What If Episode 1, What If Captain Carter were the first Avenger. So with this first episode, we have, instead of Captain America, instead of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, we have Peggy Carter becoming Captain America. That's kind of the twist in this episode. And as a starting episode, I thought this one was okay. It presents the idea of What If, which I think is really cool and has a ton of potential. This one, I think, leans too much on the message wokeness kind of side of things for me personally. It is very much a women should be in war too kind of message in here. To me, it kind of hampers the entire thing as a whole. But looking specifically at some things in here that I thought were cool, kind of seeing how they're going to do this series, because I think it's cool that there's shots in here that are very directly lifted from the movies, both shots that look like they were in the movies and then have certain elements changed, and then you can see how those changes kind of progress and change the overall narrative of what the MCU, you know, could have been if it were different in this respect. And so I think, I think the thing I liked about this episode is more of the broader picture, kind of the things that it seems like they're doing with it as a whole, maybe more as opposed to this particular episode. What did you think?
Yeah, I did like the ways it mirrored the movies. Some of the scenes were pretty much the same, except animated, and then other ones would be like, well, but the character swapped out, or it was a slightly different situation, but you could still tell, oh, that's that scene.
Yeah.
So it is cool how they paralleled it, paralleled the movies that you know, and they kind of kept the personalities of the characters and stuff similar to the movies. Yeah, I suspected they would lean on that woke message, and they did more than I wanted them to.
I think it is kind of a bummer, because I do think this could have been a cool concept, or this could have been a cool twist on it, but because they have that message and that kind of agenda that they're pushing, they lean on that too hard to kind of what is ultimately to the detriment of the overall episode.
I thought it was interesting that in this take, they still had Steve Rogers as the one they were about to do this experiment on.
Yeah.
It was just things played out a little different, and, you know, and then they needed someone right in that moment, and she stepped in.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting, rather than them backing up a little further and having them chose her from the beginning.
Yeah.
I did like the visual style. I thought the animation was well done, and I liked the fight scenes. The way they kind of had her throwing the shield and then hitting this one guy, and then, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was all well done, and they kind of played out the action well, made it exciting and intense and kind of, you know, very, like, fast, like, from one action beat to the next, you know, from one, like, punch and to the next, really fast and kind of in a...
Yeah.
In a very smooth, stylized way, and that was fun.
And, yeah, and the way they kind of set up, like showed some of the shots very, I guess, kind of comic book looking, you know, where it has those moments, the impact kind of moments, mm-hmm. you know, in the animation, which is pretty cool. And by the way here, guys, this, we are going to include some spoilers here. I don't think we've included any spoilers in so far in this section, but we are going to talk about spoilers with the episodes going forward and stuff, and I'll warn you again in front of each episode to make sure that everybody knows. But, you know, going a little bit further into this episode, I thought it was interesting that it's almost like we got a double what if here, because we got what if... You know, Howard Stark invented Iron Man instead of Tony Stark, because you got basically a big Iron Man suit that they end up putting Steve Rogers in, and then he's the Nazi stomper. And so that's kind of cool. That's kind of fun, you know, a different take. And they almost give you that moment where you think that he's going to become the Winter Soldier, you know, where he falls off the train and it's like, oh, is that where that's going? But then ultimately it didn't go there. But
I kind of wish it did, but
yeah.
It probably would have been hard to do that in a 35-minute episode.
Yeah, and then the ending having a tentacle monster I thought was pretty cool. Very fitting for Hydra, right? You know, mm-hmm. Hydra bringing in some tentacle monster, and it just ends up killing Red Skull, so he doesn't turn out to be that big of a villain, apparently. At least not in the future.
It happens a lot in movies and stuff where the villain is bringing in something dangerous or you know, doing something crazy, and he's just standing there laughing, enjoying it, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
It's like he's not in danger from it. And so it kind of started that way. He was just like, it's too late, you know, and then a tentacle grabs him and just squishes him.
Yeah, and he's just dead now. Yes. A fitting end, I guess.
Yes.
I was wondering when she cut some of the tentacles off if they were going to grow, you know, two in the place or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole Hydra idea, but that didn't happen.
So, yeah, then she ends up pushing the monster back into the portal, and then she was lost in the portal for, you know...
However many years,
yeah, instead of frozen in ice.
Yeah, yeah.
So they kind of changed that part of the story up a bit.
And, yeah, when she was starting to push it, she's like, I gotta push it back into the portal. I'm like, oh, so this is how she's gonna go back in time, you know? And then, yeah, in the end you see Hawkeye and Nick Fury in the present day, and now she's going to be the present-day Captain America, or Captain Carter, or Captain Britain, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, they couldn't just go with Captain America because she's British.
Yeah. There is a Captain Britain, but not that's not her.
Yeah. That's probably why they just had to call her Captain Carter.
Yeah. Okay, that's it for this episode. Hello, this is David and Josiah, back with another What If review. Today we're talking about episode number 2. What if T'Challa became a Star-Lord? Remember, there will be spoilers in these segments for this episode. So, spoilers for this episode. Josiah, what did you think of episode 2?
This one was a whole lot of fun.
Yes.
I was wondering how they were going to have someone who came from a very closed-off tribe be the Star-Lord, since... You know, in the movies, it's the son of Ego the Planet, and in the comics, it's the son of some emperor of a space-faring nation or something. So I was wondering, it's like, how does that work? But they worked it really well. They just kidnapped the wrong child.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, hey, we like this kid. We're going to keep him around.
Yeah.
And then him growing up to still be kind of the T'Challa that we know and love, you know, from Black Panther, from Wakanda and all that. You know, still him being the noble guy and using the leadership qualities that he has to bring people together way better than Star-Lord, than, you know, Peter Quill ever does, than Yondu ever does. You know, he, you know, people like, you know, Taserface was in there, who was, you know, the people who rebelled in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Even Thanos showing up because, you know, he had a good argument against Thanos' plan that apparently Thanos listened to. I don't know how well that would have worked, but that's what happened.
That was a fun thing I didn't expect, just to have him, like, along for the ride. Because we've never seen him as anything but a big bad villain.
Right, right. So this is kind of him as part of the crew, you know, and then seeing kind of that dynamic with the rest of the group. It's really fun.
But he kept bringing up his idea and talking about it to people.
You know? It's like, oh, I really think there was something to that plan. Like,
yeah. It would have been efficient. They had a lot of characters we know from the movies in different roles than they otherwise would have been. Like, when they went to the Collector, those who worked for Thanos in the movies were working for the Collector here.
Yeah.
So you got to see those familiar characters, but at one point they were the ones beating up Thanos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool to see, yeah, all these different kind of the galactic characters that we, you know, haven't seen in, or that we've seen in situations like where they're the big bads or they're the big bads leaders and stuff. And here, like, you know, the Dark Order, I think they're called, is, you know, they're here and they're still the bad guys, but now they're working under the Collector. And the Collector, who was, like, you know, the seedy crime boss kind of guy, but on a little bit lower of a level, you know, Thanos moved out and he moved up kind of thing. And so then he's a big bad crime boss in this universe. And seeing the Collector here kind of makes me wish, man, I wish we've gotten some more with the Collector. Because I think the Collector is a cool, weirdo character that, you know, they've just done a little bit with because, you know, he kind of served his purpose in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. And maybe he was in, I think he was in the Infinity War, if I remember right. But for the most part, you know, very minimal role with him. And seeing this has kind of made me go, dude, you know, I would like to see more with the Collector, you know, see what else they could do with him.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did find kind of interesting in this is that Nebula is a part of the team. Nebula's there as, like, a regular character, seemingly, and Gamora is not, which makes me wonder what happened there. Did Gamora become the more bitter character that is now off somewhere else, you know, and why, you know, Nebula has the hair, so she's not as, it probably didn't go as far down the line with Thanos, like, breaking off her body pieces and replacing them with cyborg parts and stuff. They didn't go that far down the line with that, that she still has hair and stuff, which is weird, and kind of weird, just looking at her like Nebula with hair. But anyway, yeah. I don't know, it makes me question, you know, what happened there? Why is Gamora not here?
Yeah, she said something about she had a debt to pay to the Collector, and then she kind of, you know, it kind of put her hand over her eye where she's got the bionics around her eye. It almost made it seem like her eye came from the Collector, not from Thanos putting that in her.
Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like that was different in her story.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you also didn't have Rocket or Groot in the mix either.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. Huh. I guess maybe with Rocket and Groot, Rocket didn't want to give up his life a crime, maybe? Or something? He still wanted to be the bounty hunter?
Maybe.
Though Groot totally would, probably, you know? Like, Groot has a good heart.
They could have a what if where Groot can talk.
Oh, yeah. Groot talks, and everybody else can't.
Well, this was a fun episode. I think they did a good job of keeping some of his Black Panther character qualities, but also giving him some Peter Quill, Star-Lord qualities, and kind of just mixing both of those characters, because this character kind of was a nice blend of both of those.
Yeah, yeah.
So overall, very good episode.
Yeah, very, very fun. Definitely better than the first episode, in my opinion. And, yeah, I just think that, yeah, this series holds so much potential, and, yeah, it's really good. Hello, and welcome back to Helix Reviews, What If? And today, we're talking about episode number 3, What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes? By the way, we spoil each episode as we go along, so you have been warned. So episode 3, with basically the setup for this episode is that right before, in Phase 1, right before the first Avengers movie, when all the Avengers are kind of coming to Earth and kind of gathering up and stuff, what if there's a serial killer that is going around and killing all of the Avengers? I really liked this episode. This episode, definitely a turn for the darker side of things compared to the first two episodes, which were more jovial, fun, you know, kind of thing. This one is the darker path that this takes down as each of our heroes that we've, you know and love in the MCU are all getting picked off and ultimately building up to where the first Avengers movie would be, but where the first Avengers movie would be without any Avengers. And I really liked it. I thought it was a very interesting kind of mystery, you know, who's picking off all these guys. And I think the building up to the climax, I thought it was very interesting, very intriguing. What did you think?
I did too. Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. It did keep me wondering who it was.
Yeah.
And for a minute there, I was like, it's got to be someone with mind powers.
That's almost what you think, yeah. Because it's like Clint Barton letting go of the bow. It's like, how do you get him to do that?
Yeah. So I thought the hide and reveal was done really well.
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, it's Hank Pym all along doing it, it makes sense as far as the powers and the stuff goes, you know, for you not being able to see him and for him being able to execute all these things very stealthily. It does have to change something in the past, too. So, I mean, in a secret kind of sense, this is a, you know, what if, you know, Hope Van Dyne was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that died, you know. So it's like it had to change something in the past in order to make this thing change here in the present. But that reveal was interesting, you know. It's seeing Hank Pym going down this much darker path because his daughter died while under Nick Fury's supervision. And so he hears about, oh, this Avengers project, and he decides, no, I gotta put an end to this. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that actually fits with the characters we see in the movie, because in the movies, Hope Van Dyne is kind of, you know, chomping at the bit to get going at superhero stuff, and he's overprotective, and so also, although it's, you know, different timeline-wise, it does kind of fit still in character with the characters we know from the movies.
Yeah.
So then at the end, when Loki was like, yeah, so I could just take over this world, and, you know, and then he's in the UN building, you know, he's the ruler of the world, because Avengers wasn't there to stop him. It kind of showed that, like, one man's senseless quest for revenge, you know, brought consequences on the whole world.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing it for selfish reasons. His daughter died, and, you know, he was facing that pain and just kind of just letting it out. But really, he hurt the whole world. He hurt others around him because of his own selfishness.
Yeah, expanding way beyond himself and way beyond the people that he was intending to hurt.
Yeah, so I thought they played that as a good warning of watch where your emotions are taking you. Watch where, you know, revenge will take you.
Yeah, and the whole Loki subplot in here, I thought, you know, is also very well done. You know, it ends with him taking over the world like he meant to, in Avengers. But before that, you know, he comes down to avenge his brother because Thor was killed. And so he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to come down and avenge my brother and decimate the world and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, Nick Fury convinces him, okay, hold off. And then eventually Nick Fury convinces him to work together in order to, you know, figure out who the bad guy is. Kind of a good little twist on that kind of story there. Unexpected, but totally, totally works, totally makes sense.
And then even though it's darker, it doesn't end without hope.
Yes.
You see, Nick Fury uncovering Captain America's shield and Captain Marvel coming down. And so they didn't stop Loki from taking over the world, but they're still going to fight.
Yeah.
There's still going to be heroes rising up.
Which I guess is another theme of the episode, because, you know, when Black Widow is dying, she's saying, it's about hope, it's all about hope. Obviously referring to Hope Van Dyne, but it's also about the hope of a better future and, you know, the hope of a better tomorrow, which is what the Avengers, you know, was set up to be in the first place.
Yeah.
All right, so that's our thoughts on episode 3. Hey, welcome back to Helix Reviews Marvel's What If. Today we're on episode number 4, What If Doctor Strange Lost His Heart Instead of His Hands? Also, by the way, there's going to be spoilers in this episode, in this review for this episode. You've been warned. So in this episode, when Doctor Strange gets into a car crash, instead of ruining his hands and thus his career, and then he goes down the path of becoming a warlock, instead he loses his heart, aka Christine, his girlfriend. Josiah, what did you think of this episode?
Well, it was a lot darker. This one wouldn't be one of my favorites, though Doctor Strange is not one of my favorite characters, so That might have something to do with it, but this one did go a lot darker than any of the rest, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that they're varying up the tone and that they're willing to take it that dark. And it was interesting, because sometimes, you know, you see a villain go down a dark path, and, you know, they some times in the story, you know, they try to make you sympathetic to the villain and to see how he can go that way. And this, it was cool because it showed both, you know, how, you know, he could go down that path or not and end up in two very different spots.
Yeah. That was a cool little kind of twist there with the whole two Doctor Stranges in this. You know, she divided the Doctor Strange up into two sections, so that way you could see the dark kind of evil supervillain Doctor Strange and the good guy Doctor Strange, which is a little bit closer to the Doctor Strange that we know. Yeah, I agree. This episode, it was pretty good. It was I think there was moments that were awesome in this episode, but as overall, this episode was pretty good, but more of a middling kind of episode of this series so far. The moments that I really liked is the development of the dark Doctor Strange, of him deciding to absorb all these monsters and to become this big monster in order to save Christine. Some of the things that they do with the way the monsters kind of come in and out of him is really weird and creepy and interesting. The fact that he talks to the Watcher is awesome, because so far the Watcher has been in every episode, but he's not interacted in any way as he's supposed to. You know, he's the Watcher. That's what he does. But the fact that at one point in the episode, he hears the Watcher and he's like, who's there? What's going on? And then the Watcher's like, oh, and he backs off, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, interesting. Like, that in and of itself was really cool. And then at the end, you know, Doctor Strange has so much power and so much knowledge and all this stuff that he's aware of the Watcher. He knows what's up with the Watcher. And then he sees him and he talks to him. The Watcher, you know, they have a little bit of a conversation, and that was really cool, you know. And of course, the Watcher says, I'm not going to interact. Anything I do will just mess things up even further. And he steps back and he just observes, like, is his life mission, you know. And it was really cool. Like, that, some of those aspects in here were really cool. And then the fact that, again, like you said, it ends on this really kind of dark, harsh note. Is like, okay, cool, you know, they're willing to go there, even though it's Marvel, Disney, animated kind of thing, they're still willing to go into some of these areas that are, they're kind of crazy dark areas that sometimes the comic books will go to, especially with these what if kind of side stories like this. So yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. If anyone was going to see The Watcher, it makes sense that it was him.
Right, right.
Yeah, and I do like that it's like, okay, so finally in the end, he got what he wanted. He broke that fixed point in time.
Yeah.
He saved her. So once he like pulled the car out of the water and pulled her out of the car and, you know, and saved her, the different creatures were coming out of him. And at one point, you know, they would kind of come and go. But at one point, he was a little more fixed form and he had horns and wings.
Yeah.
So he looked like a demon.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, okay, he got what he want, but this is what it cost.
Yeah.
You know, he saved her, but he gave up himself. And that's not even what she would want.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so it was just kind of showed, you know, if you just have something in mind and you pursue that, you know, you got to look at the cost. If you're pursuing something bad, you know, there's going to be, there's going to be this negative cost, you know. Yeah, so I like that it showed that and was kind of a cautionary tale for us, you know, something that we could think about, you know, if we are just pursuing something wholeheartedly with no regard to anything else.
Yeah. And even if it's something seemingly good, you know, because it's like, oh, he's going to save her, you know. Even if it's something seemingly good, the methods, the way he went about it is wrong. And, you know, and ultimately the end is not justifying the means in this scenario. And that's true to real life.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the gut punch a little bit at the end is when he finally does save her, and when she finally actually recognizes him as Stephen Strange, and just her last words are just, "What have you done?" And then she fades away and does nothing, and he's just even more heartbroken than he was, you know, before.
Yeah.
So that's it for episode 4 of What If. Coming up for episode 5, we got What If Zombies. I'm excited for this one. This is one that I was looking forward to. As soon as they showed it in the trailers and stuff, I was like, nice, they're doing the zombies thing. Hello and welcome back to Helix Reviews What If, and today we're looking at episode number 5, What If Zombies. And by the way, there's going to be some spoilers for this episode in this little review, so you have been warned. The premise of this episode is, it's kind of based on the Marvel Zombies comic books in that, hey, it's the Marvel Universe, but hey, what if they became zombies? Zombie apocalypse happens in the Marvel Universe. That includes a bunch of the Avengers becoming zombies and using their superpowers when they're zombies and such. I thought this episode was super fun. Like, I thought this was very fun. It's from what I've read in the comics, it was very different than that Marvel Zombies, but it takes the kind of zombie premise and just goes its own direction, fitting more into the MCU versus fitting into the comic book universe. And I thought it was fun. It's a fun twist on the MCU. It's fun to see the, you know, zombies with superpowers flying around and some of the stuff that they do with some of the characters here. What did you think?
I thought it was fun. It was, you know, you saw a lot of characters you know and care about, you know, become zombies and people having to kill zombies of their friends, you know. So it kind of had that weight to it, but then because of Spider-Man and Ant-Man and some of the characters kind of kept it upbeat, and so I thought it was a nice mix of both kind of the heavy, weighty, yet still lighthearted.
Yeah, really kind of doing what zombies do best, in my opinion, which is just, you know, I guess which is having the characters have to kind of face off against their own people, you know, and then their own people turned and all that kind of stuff. Kind of the interesting dynamic there. And then, you know, it's like you kind of see it coming to a certain extent, but like the, you know, when Hope gets back up, it's like, you know, of course she turned into a zombie. She's there getting crawled over by zombies. But then when that happens, it's like, you know, a cool, crazy moment and all that kind of stuff.
Some people do different takes on zombies, you know, like this one zombies are fast or this one zombies are smart or,
yeah,
you know. So this one, like the regular person was just kind of a regular zombie.
Yeah.
Slow and, you know. But the Avengers still had their powers.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, Hawkeye could still aim his arrows, you know? Yeah. So
Iron Man's still flying around doing moves and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of, you know, hold to the traditional zombies, yet kind of get a twist in there, too.
Yeah. Now, in the comics, there are, like, some smart zombies that, like, for example, Spider-Man was a zombie, but he was a smart zombie, and he, like, decided to help the alive people to heal the zombie race and stuff. And so that was kind of the twist there. So when I saw, you first see Spider-Man in this, he has his mask on, and I'm wondering if he's going to pull it off and he's going to be zombie Spider-Man helping. But they didn't go down that kind of direction. Again, like you say, just taking kind of their own twist to it in a fun way. And then the ending I thought was super cool. The whole thing with Vision and Wanda and everything, like very interesting. Because it was like, you know, you get there and you start to see some stuff and you're like, okay, what exactly? Like, what would Vision's motivation for being evil is? Like, there's not much of a reason for him to be evil in the zombie apocalypse. Unless, you know, unless Wanda turned into a zombie and now, you know, he's trying to figure out a way to turn her back and that kind of thing, you know? So it's like, okay, they give him a good reason to kind of get this twist. You have this super, uber powerful zombie with, you know, Scarlet Witch and stuff, which makes for some fun sequences and a kind of a cool way to wrap up this story for a story that doesn't necessarily have an ending because it's just an open-ending zombie apocalypse kind of thing.
And I thought that was a good way for to use his powers, you know, the Mind Stone. They say,
yeah,
okay, the zombie apocalypse has something to do with the mind, so the Mind Stone, you know, affects them negatively. So that was kind of the hope, too, that they could hold on to. And so, like, he was conflicted. He wanted to, you know, cure Wanda and save her, but he really knew it was wrong too, and in the end he was willing to sacrifice himself to help them get the cure out to the world.
And also the way it started I thought was kind of cool too, you know, again tying it into the MCU, the broader MCU that, you know, is here, we have Scott Lang and Hank Pym, you know, going down into that micro dimension that they went to in the Ant-Man movies, and they, you know, Ant-Man and Wasp, they get her mom back, Hope's mom back, and, you know, in that she's, well, we don't exactly know what's up with her, but but they get her back in this, and that's where the zombie apocalypse starts, and it's like, okay, you know, you're pulling this thing out from, you know, we have no idea what's up with her, we have no idea, you know, what's up with this dimension or anything. There's so little known about it that it's like, that's kind of a cool, fun way to bring about the zombie apocalypse in a way that's not just like, oh, it was a lab and it escaped or whatever, you know. It's not the generic way. It's a MCU kind of way.
And then, yeah, I thought it was fun. So Bruce Banner comes back to Earth, you know, because he was out from the Thor Ragnarok story, you know, so he came back the same way he did in the MCU. And then, you know, and then there's the Thanos' henchmen there in New York. And they're saying the same lines.
Yeah.
But then they get jumped by zombies.
Yeah.
That was very fun.
And then, yeah, there's zombies. And it's like the dude with telekinesis is like pulling them in and all this kind of stuff. Yes, very fun.
And then in the end, it showed even Thanos became a zombie.
Yeah. And so, yeah, and he's got the Infinity Gauntlet with all the stones, so what is that gonna mean, you know? What is his motivations now that he's a zombie, you know? Like, is it still wipe off half the population, or is, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. The Avengers kept their abilities, but I don't know if he would...
Yeah, they didn't keep their minds or morals or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So overall, a really fun episode. Really good. Honestly, this is probably one of my favorite episodes so far. Really enjoyed this one. Hello and welcome back to Helix Reviews What If. Today we're on episode number 6, What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark. And remember, there's going to be some spoilers for this episode in this review. You have been warned. Josiah, what'd you think of this episode?
Wow, that one was fun. This one is my favorite so far. I think they could have taken that one and made a full-length movie out of that. Just the way they had it from Killmonger's perspective, and, you know, you kind of had him, you know, getting friendly with this guy and double-crossing him just so he can double-cross this guy, which was a bigger setup to double-cross this guy, you know?
Yeah.
So he was clever, and he had his plans, and he had the personality that would, you know, get people to like him, like in the movie, like in the Black Panther movie, and, you know, but then he was really only looking out for himself, and like, just like the movie, so they really kept his personality right from the movie, and just kind of played it different, though. Instead of, the movie was from Black Panther's perspective, this was from Killmonger's perspective. I just think they did a really good job of that. And
yeah, I think they did a great job at really mixing the elements that were already in the MCU, like the way he came into Wakanda, you know, by killing Claw and all that kind of stuff. You know, like taking these elements that he did do, but then playing them, like, but then I guess you see it from his perspective. You see all the master plan that he's working on, and you see him using some of the tactics that he used there, kind of for a different thing there, using them here. Really well done. Yeah, this, I agree, this is probably my favorite episode so far. Probably a more serious episode than a lot of the episodes, and it's, but just really well done. The story, the like I said, the double crosses and stuff, figuring out, you know, oh, you know, he's working for Tony Stark for a while, but that's only the first step, and then, you know, he's doing this, and that's only that step, you know, until he's the king of Wakanda, ultimately. And I mean, I was wondering, you know, oh, are they going to do something after that, or, you know, are they going to, you know, go, you know, start to take over the world, kind of like what he was kind of trying to do in the Black Panther movie, you know, but they didn't expressly say that. But now he's the head of Wakanda. Also, he didn't kill his uncle? I was expecting him to kill his uncle because that's who killed his dad. Does he just not know that yet?
Maybe not. I don't know. They didn't really touch on that hair.
Yeah, because in the movie, yeah, that's revealed, but then, so yeah, that's kind of what I was expecting. I was expecting him to, like, kill the uncle and then be the king, you know, and it's like, they didn't go down that. But, yeah, I agree, man. It's so well done. This really, what this did is, it really shows you why he's such a great villain, because he's got that personality, he's got that charm, he's got that wit, he's very intelligent and clever, and but then he can manipulate everybody and end up on top as this big powerful person that, you know, he can do whatever he wants to, kind of thing. Okay, that's our thoughts on episode 6, a great episode. Hello and welcome to Helix Reviews What If, and today we're talking about episode number 7, What If Thor Were an Only Child. So this episode is about if Loki was not adopted into the Odin family, and Thor was an only child, so he's just a big partier, and he goes to Earth and has a massive party, and that's basically what this episode is. By the way, there's going to be some spoilers in here for this episode. You've been warned. There we go. Josiah, what did you think of this episode?
Well, this was by far the goofiest episode.
Oh my goodness.
It was fun that they took a different tone, you know, just went for something just goofy, you know, and not serious at all. He's just throwing like a crazy teenager party, you know, like college style party. And then he's got to clean it up before his mom comes.
Yeah, it's like, isn't this like a Cat in the Hat like thing? Isn't that what they do? Like mess everything up and then, oh, clean it up before mom and dad get here. Oh, okay. Like, it's like, oh, okay. So, yeah, definitely a huge tonal shift very, very goofy, funny, fun. It opens up the room for a lot of random cameos of, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, Howard the Duck, just tons of random different characters from all over the place, which is fun. The main conflict is between Thor and Captain Marvel, which is pretty fun. They have like a comic book style fight where they both fight and it's like, oh, who's going to be the victor? And then neither one turns out to be the victor. They just fight. And so it's like, oh, we still don't know who's the strongest Avenger.
Yeah, it was just fun to see just all the different people from all over the Marvel universe just doing all kinds of weird things with Earth's landmarks. They were going to make the St. Louis Arch into a giant slingshot.
Yes. And the what was his name? The fiery dude that was at the end of Ragnarok, like, hanging on to the Statue of Liberty, like, hey, babe, what's up?
Melted her arm off. Yeah, it's like some of those people, you know, wouldn't have been there, you know, wouldn't have really known Thor.
Yeah, it's like apparently this changed like everything in the Marvel Universe because it's like, yeah, every random character is there partying and everything was just like, okay. It's just so... They really pushed it into the goofy, just straight up comedy territory, which is fun, but you know, it's very different, I guess.
Yeah. It wasn't my favorite episode, but I do like that they can do one like that and do a very serious, heavy one.
Yeah.
Like some of the ones that they've done.
And then this one seemingly sets up the next episode because the next episode is like the Ultron episode. And so this episode ends with like, oh, Thor's cleaned up the world and all this kind of stuff. And then he goes on a date with Jane Foster. But then it's like, Ultron shows up and like, Vision is inside Ultron or something. And like, and that's the picture of the next episode there. And it's like, wait, what? So I guess the first time two episodes are connected in more ways than just the Watcher being there.
I guess we'll see.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh. It makes me wonder if is the final three episodes going to be connected or just these two or I don't know. Curious.
I don't know.
Hello. Welcome back to Helix Reviews. What If? Where Josiah and I are talking about the What If Marvel series. And today we're on number 8, What If Ultron 1. Remember, there's going to be spoilers in each of these episodes. And so, spoilers for this episode here. Josiah, what did you think of this episode?
This one is crazy.
Yes.
It is tying them together.
I loved this one. This one is one of the best. Because, yeah, I agree. Because first off, it's a more serious one, which is the ones that I tend to like a little more. And then it's tying everything together. At the end of the last episode, you get a little tease of like, wait, is this going to be a two-parter or something? What's going on here? And then this one kind of explains what was starting to happen at the end of that last episode. Ultron 1 is breaking out and is breaking into all of the dimensions.
Yeah, so they had been leaving breadcrumbs of this throughout with Doctor Strange noticing there's a Watcher. And then, with the other episode where Ultron shows up at the end, it's kind of the same starting as like in the MCU, you know, Ultron's uploading his body into what we know as Vision's body.
Yeah.
But instead of the hero stopping him, he succeeds. He's got that body. He ends up wiping out Earth to achieve peace on Earth, then realizes, oh, there are other worlds. So he goes across the galaxy, wiping everyone out, so there's peace in the galaxy.
Killing Thanos, getting the Infinity Stones all put on him, so he's ultra-powerful.
He basically, he's got not just the mind anymore, he's got reality and time and...
Yes.
Yeah, becomes so powerful, he knows the Watchers are there, and then eventually finds a way to get to the place that the Watcher watches from.
Yeah.
And basically access to all the different parallel worlds.
It's really cool, I think, to bring in the Watcher in the way that they did. Because he's somebody that's been here the entire time, and he's been talking, but he has barely interacted with anybody. The most he's interacted with anybody is when Doctor Strange is like, hey, suddenly I hear you, and, you know, they have, like, a small conversation, and there's, like, a little bit there, kind of bringing him into the story there. This one, it really brings him in. He has a fight scene with Ultron, and he's like, and now he's having a crisis of conscience. You know, does he stick to his oath that he's been sticking with all these years, or does he break his oath in order to save the multiverse? And at the end, he decides to break his oath by teaming up with a bad guy. So I don't know if that's a good way to break his oath necessarily, but he's going to team up with evil Doctor Strange, who was, again, is set up in a previous episode. So all these single stories that were being told are suddenly all converging into kind of telling one big story. You know, we'll see in this next episode if they maybe bring in something else from one of these other universes too. You know, the other What If episodes so far, I think they could, you know, bring another one or two in here and bring all these episodes together even more. I think that's really cool. It's not something that I was expecting to happen in any major degree, only maybe just like a touch here or there. But the way they're bringing it all together, I think, is extremely cool.
Yeah, I did not expect that, but I like it. And it does take a super powerful being. So it's like, you know, with Ultron having all the Infinity Stones, that would make him powerful enough. And yeah. So it kind of makes sense, you know, giving him that much power to do this. And then, yeah, it kind of, you know, uncorks it for this last story where it's like, man, anything could happen. They could be in all kinds of universes. And
yeah.
I really did like the fight scene where Ultron was just on top of the Watcher punching him. And, you know, there's the video games where sometimes you can crash through a wall and end up in a different part. You know, the player versus player fighting games, you can crash through and then you're like in a different arena. I always thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And they just basically took that, and every time Ultron punched him, he would punch him through a dimensional barrier.
Yeah.
So it was just punch, 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 and the surroundings changed every time. That was so awesome. I love that scene.
Yes, that was very cool. And you get, like, real quick snippets of, you know, there's the Skrulls, there's, you know, these aliens or these people, you know. So you get kind of quick flashes of all these different people as they're flying through dimensions.
Yeah, it was awesome because that just shows the scale of their fight, you know. Like, to those people, it'd be this crazy thing that happened, you know, a big event. And to them, it was like a couple seconds in this dimension, you know.
Yeah.
Just a whole different level of fighting and conflict, because all those universes are at stake. So yeah, this was one of my favorites too. I can't wait to get to the final conclusion.
Yes, yeah. See how this is gonna be wrapped up. I don't know where it's going. They're gonna have to destroy Ultron somehow. But at the same time, it's like, you're getting evil Doctor Strange, you know, if he wins, it's not like he's going to go off and be a good guy now or something. You know, it's just like, well, what are you setting off here, you know?
And you do have also Armin Zola in the mix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So is he's like, was uploaded to one of the Ultron bots and was trying to get into the main consciousness, but, like, did that actually happen? Because they were talking like it didn't, but...
Well, I think, you know, Armin said they were equipped for galactic communication, but he was outside of the galaxy. He was in parallel universes by then.
Okay, yeah.
So he was out of range.
So I guess whenever he goes back into range or something, then he can get a hold. Also, I like that battle as a way to bring back Armin Zolak, you know, kind of a cool character. And his whole, you know, stint in the MCU of turning into the robot person kind of thing is very fun. And that's like a really fun way to use that character again. Is like, we need an analog computer system. Let's get this one that, you know, Armin Zola uploaded his own consciousness into way back when, you know. So that is very fun. Hello and welcome back to Helix Reviews What If, and today we're on the final episode of Season 1, What If the Watcher Broke His Oath? The big finale. Josiah, what did you think of this episode? By the way, there's going to be spoilers. Josiah, what did you think of this episode?
I liked it. I liked how it brought the whole series together, because I went into this series thinking every episode would just be its own thing. It would not tie in to anything, you know, each episode its own little pocket, its own little thing. But then get toward close to the end and it's like, oh, the whole series is connected a little bit. And then this one, it just brings them all together so much more. And then it even got me thinking, okay, not only are all these episodes connected to each other, is this connected to the larger MCU in some way?
Yeah. Yeah, with the way they're playing with the multiverse in this and in Spider-Man No Way Home and then upcoming in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, it very much seems like this could tie into that movie, which is very interesting. I agree. I think this was a really good episode. I think that they brought even more together than I was expecting. Because seeing the last episode and they're like, oh, they're bringing a couple things together. They're bringing a couple episodes together. This one took all of the episodes that they weren't bringing together in the last episode and just shoving them all in here, you know? So it's like, okay, the zombie one, that wasn't really addressed in the last episode. And then they dump a bunch of zombies on there, and, you know, they bring back Armin Zola, who was in that episode too, I think. Was that... No, Scarlet Witch was in that episode. Armin Zola was in...
Was in the one with Captain Carter.
That's right. So even, you know, the ones that they weren't bringing back, and I still wasn't really thinking they were going to bring back. I thought they were just going to connect a few of them. They're bringing all of them together in this one episode. Very cool. Very fun. A good way to wrap up the season. In a way, it sets up an expectation for future seasons, which may or may not be lived up to, because going into the next season, if you're expecting it to all be connected, then I guess to an extent the surprise and all that kind of stuff is gone from that. But at the same time, it would be kind of disappointing if they didn't. So it sets up kind of a weird expectation for whatever season 2 is going to be. Mm-hmm. That said, I think this is a really good way to end this season.
Yeah, it was fun. It just played with the multiverse in some ways we haven't seen yet. Maybe we'll see more of that in the upcoming Doctor Strange
movie. Yeah,
but it was cool to see how powerful Ultron was and just being able to break through to different. You know, different worlds and realities, and
in a way, he almost became like the new Watcher, appearing in the sky, all big, and being like, "Oh, hi, guys!" You know, when they're all on the planet that was deemed no intelligent life there. You know, so it's like he almost like became the Watcher, only the evil version of the Watcher.
Yeah, kind of the anti-Watcher.
Yeah.
And then I liked how when they were fighting him, they had the stone crusher. So they managed to wrestle the stones away from him. And then the stone crusher didn't work on those stones because they were from two different universes.
Yeah.
And so it was designed specifically to crush, you know, the stones from its universe.
Yeah.
And just how... You know, how they use that plot point, because, you know, they made you look like this win. They had this win, but then you kind of weren't sure.
Yeah, it didn't quite feel right.
Yeah, and then the way they explained how that wasn't a win, it was just like, it was great. Yeah. With that whole, you know, universe mashing they were doing, it was just like, oh, yeah, that is a fun way to do it.
Yeah. And then the way they did defeat Ultron here with Armin Zola getting injected as a virus into him. Again, kind of a callback to an earlier episode, and also
And also seeing the cyberspace battle with these two guys is kind of a cool, fun, a different way, I guess. You know, it's not the brute force way, which was kind of the first way. It's a little bit different of a way to take him down, which is cool.
And then, of course, you know, Armin Zola can't be trusted.
Yeah.
And then also Killmonger.
Yeah.
Can't be trusted.
So, I was thinking this when they were making the team. It's like, not all these some of these people are like villains, basically.
Yeah. And like the way that the Killmonger just kind of turned on the team and was just wanting to basically replace Ultron as the new superpower, that just fit with the character they had going. You know, it totally worked. And of course, Armin Zola would. So.
Yeah, yeah. Because then it's like those two fighting over, and it's like either one of those that win, it's terrible because both those are bad guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Doctor Strange being there, he's the evil Doctor Strange, so even if he got it, that's kind of questionable too, even though he technically did kind of get it, but, you know, in a different way, I guess.
So, yeah, I think the way where, you know, the Watcher, you know, kind of trapping them off in their own little pocket dimension kind of worked as a resolution, so they're there, but basically in their own little dimension, frozen in time, kind of quarantined from the rest of the multiverse. That works as a resolution, and it's kind of also out there as a lingering threat. If this ever cracks, you know, so it could become a plot point. You know, it could be like someone's trying to get that so they can control something, or you know, whatever, or inadvertently, you know, releases it, you know, so it's kind of just there sitting on the shelf for any storytelling. I don't know if they'll ever come back to it, but
yeah,
you know, it could at least be, you know.
And if tying this into like the Multiverse of Madness, you know, this evil Doctor Strange looks like the evil Doctor Strange that they're introducing in the trailer to that movie. So it's like, okay, you know, is it the same one? Honestly, probably not. It's probably a different one that just looks kind of similar, you know? But if it is the same one, it would make sense him sitting there alone going crazy with this super powerful ball there, you know? And then he could, you know, they could play with that in the MCU movie if they wanted to there. We'll see whatever that is in the, you know, Multiverse of Madness.
So one thing I noticed about the end of it is that, you know, the Watcher is always like, I'm here to watch, I'm here to observe, and that's it. And then at the end of the series, he's like, I am the protector of the multiverse now. So it's like, now that he broke his oath, does this mean he's going to continue breaking it? Or is he going to go back to it? He was seemingly going to go back to it when he's talking to Natasha there at the end. And he's like, you have to go back to your horrible zombie-ridden universe. Like, you know, so you're stuck there. But then, like, he changes his mind and sticks her in a new universe, I guess? Or was that temporary? Like, and then it's like, all right, now you go back to your terrible universe?
No, it seems like he had a change of heart and was like, okay, I'll put you somewhere where you can be useful, you know?
Yeah.
And then he said something about, you know, everyone's looking for a place they need to belong.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't feel like she belongs on a planet, you know, by herself, you know.
Yeah.
She needs people. She needs a fight to fight.
Which, okay, then maybe, I guess that's setting up the season two, is that now instead of him just watching the stories, he can actually interact because he no longer has that promise, and so he's interacting and fixing things in the stories that's going on.
So he could bring Eddie Brock Venom into the main Marvel universe if he wanted to.
Yeah. He's like, no, I want to fix this one just for the fans.
Just for the fans. Yes. I think this story would be better with him, though.
Yes. Then he's just messing with stuff that just totally doesn't need to be. Okay, so the story arc of next season is this. This is my idea, is that he's decided, I'm going to start interacting with these, and I'm going to help them fix problems. And so throughout season two, there's some big thing that happens, and then he'll reach in every now and again and adjust something or be able to talk to a character or something along those lines. And then the other Watchers figure out about this, and they're like, he broke his promise. We got to go get him. So the finale of next season is the other Watchers coming to get our Watcher.
That could be.
So, and then he has to explain it or fight them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And evidently, there seems to be someone above the Watchers, because the Watchers made an oath. Well, an oath to whom?
Yeah.
So there seems to be someone above them, and what are they going to think about this?
Yeah. So maybe that's what season two is going to be. That's how they can have the separate stories and still have the overarching story, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm looking forward to season two. And that's it for our thoughts on this episode. Until next time, this is David.
And Josiah.
I think it's Reuse. Signing out. Bye-bye, guys. Check, 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 check. You should scoot in.
Oh, my normal intro. so excited.
You done yet?
Yo.
Check, 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 check.
Check, check, check.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Let's record in slow motion.
I got you, dude.
Alright, you gotta be quiet.
Okay.
Alright, you gotta be quiet, okay? Okay. You wanna sing a little song or say something?
Yeah.
Just talk to it.
I'm not. I got?
Yep.
You're first! You go first!
You go first, man.
You talking to it?
Ah!
Whoa, that's loud. All right, go ahead.
Hi. 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 Hi.
Okay. Last time.
No. My turn now.
Go for it.
Say something.
Hi, Dad. Five of them.
All right.